SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online. And at our website, stevebick.com. Looking at a list of Keeneland, some Keeneland results. What a great weekend. No matter what your focus was. Woodbine. What, four grade ones, right? Belmont, opening weekend of Belmont. Opening weekend at Churchill. You name it. There was something to keep you occupied. Whatever you were following. How about our 10th anniversary, Tina and I? I'm sure that was absolutely at the top of everybody's list. I don't know. I don't think so. But thank you. Thank you for the we both thank you for all the lovely 10th wedding anniversary greetings, which were really nice. I mostly accompanied by, you know, the probably accurate comments like, yeah, really, 10 years with you? she's tolerated. We had a great weekend in Philly, starting Friday night, and then at the Love, which is not just named appropriately, but food is fabulous, and then the Rittenhouse Square art show on Saturday, and we always find something. This one, we got like a small statue, little bronze piece, and yeah, because there's no the wall coverings between my race stuff, artwork, and so forth. Yeah, there's not going to be room for any too many wall hanging items. So we got I think this is like the third decorative. It's not a figurine either. It's a small statuette. It's a bronze. It was not an Emmy that they gave out last night. Although it seems like they gave away, you know, the piece that we got. There's 35 of them that are numbered, and I think they take the over on those Emmys that they were just handing out left and right. And then the Eagle game yesterday, which was really disappointing. God, Jesus, that was torture. You could just tell. You could just you know. When teams don't score early when they have the opportunities, you let the other team hang around, and you could just tell. You could just tell it was what was going to happen, and it happened. But it was a beautiful, beautiful weekend. Every day was gorgeous, and that seemed to be the case watching from afar on the race action. And, you know, catching up, obviously, you know, I snuck in some stuff, particularly Saturday, in the afternoon and then after dinner, thanks to the late post at Churchill. And other than Charlie Appleby, it's hard to say what the dominant theme was. That was the dominant theme. Wow. Godolphin, just unbelievable. Really quite something. And I just, as the show was starting, I was texting with Nick Luck, who came over, and I was very surprised. Nick's first trip to Toronto, and covering the weekend action. I was surprised that that was the first time to Woodbine and to T.O. But the Charlie Appleby success and Frankie Dettori, I mean, they, you know, not that they won everything that they, you know, that they sent out, but boy, it was a full frontal assault, and they came away. I mean, Godolphin overall, they came away with, you know, almost all the most important targets, right? And yeah, there were certainly, you know, between Shantisara for Chad and Flavian Pratt in the Jockey Club Oaks. And for Brandon Greer, and I was conversing with Brandon Greer as well this morning regarding the Woodbine Mile win, and that was not a hard, you know, that was not a hard upset to plot out, because the Town Cruise was going to be the speed. You knew that. You absolutely knew that. And, I mean, personally, not that it mattered, because I would have missed, I ticket structure-wise, it wouldn't have mattered. But I, when I wrote the thing up on Saturday morning, and I said, well, Town Cruise is going to be on the lead here. Can he wire? And I thought, you know, there was just enough pace pressure, and specifically the pressure that might come from Michelle Lovell's change of control, who was stretching out. And you know, whenever you see stretch out sprinter types that, you know, are going to do this, you figure, okay, their natural speed is going to provide pressure. And, you know, it certainly wasn't a case of going too fast, that's for sure. And Colby Hernandez and change of control just, you know, maybe trying to rate, I guess, I don't know, 24 flat, 47 flat, 110 and 2. And I mean, that the change of control can certainly go that kind of pace. I mean, this is a horse that attends paces, you know, 45 and change, 46. And so that, to me, it became pretty clear at a certain point as Fukumoto maintained separation, it became obvious that they're not going to get to this horse. And it's that sinking feeling. And I know people were, aghast at the drop in price, but I did not check the one thing I should have done was check the will pays on the doubles. But I mean, 20 to 1 that he was, you know, that he was, you know, through the, you know, fairly late in the betting, it was insane. I mean, that was just silly. That there was no, you know, if somebody has screen caps of the double will pays, I'd be curious what he was, you know, in the wagering at that point, because. And set piece, they were betting set piece like the race had already been run. That was also nutty. 3 to 2. Raging Bull was just under 4 to 1. And Ride a Comet was 7 to 1. So, 1, 2, 3, fourth choice at 865. Was Town Cruise, and that didn't seem, you know, the might be a case more of the morning line being a little out of whack than, you know, the late money conundrum. Anyway, it was not a shocking equation and result, frankly, to me. Anyway, I just was hoping or expected that Town Cruise was going to have more company, and it just didn't materialize. And I mean, you look through this. I mean, change of control was the horse that needed to apply pressure. I mean, because you knew the Euro invaders weren't going to do it, and yeah, I mean, I was disappointed with Avi's Flatter, who kind of ranged up and I thought was making a move and stopped. I was trying to make a case there at a nice price, but no. March to the Arch as well kind of came calling and too late. So it's strictly one of those cases where after the fact you realize, you know, this was a lot easier to dissect instead of trying to overthink and make other cases. Anyway, that was the big, you know, the biggest of the day, the weekend's events, really, the $1 million Woodbine Mile and the Brandon Greer equation here and the family equation. Homebred by Town Prize, 6-year-old who's gotten really good with added maturity. 104 buyer, you know, which certainly respectful. And this is a horse that, you know, probably should have been staying this kind of a distance a little earlier on. Brandon, here's why it's such a great story. I reached out to him this morning, and he said, he goes, I can't this morning. He goes, I'm alone. I do all the horses myself. So as soon as I talk to Casey, we'll figure out if we're gonna record with him. Casey, he gets done around 1 o'clock. So if you're around later, we'll tape something with Brandon and play it for you tomorrow. It's a one-man operation. It's very cool. So to win a race like this has got to be, you know, with a homebred and with a horse who, you know, just has gotten steadily better with, you know, added maturity. 70s and 80s buyers into the 90s here as a 6-year-old, and you know, now a career best in an absolute perfect setting out of a Candy Ride mare, Candy Cruise. That Space Traveler ended up second for Brendan Walsh, staying, obviously, in North America. Raging Bull, you know, Raging Bull ran okay. He came calling late and settled for, you know, another grade one placement. There's nothing, I know. Some people, you know, were like, oh, we got to be against, we should be against him here. And he ran okay. Nice day, nice weekend, really. That Dragon T, Christophe Clement, and Clement had nice success. Won that Woodbine Cares, that 2-year-old race that wasn't one of the grade ones yesterday. That Derry Nain, who we, you know, won at Saratoga and done well with at Saratoga. Came back and won that, and that was a nice group. We'll talk about the two grade ones yesterday. And of course, you know, this is part of that Godolphin story. But before you talk about those two, there was Walton Street in the Canadian International, the Pattison, and Walton Street with the Tory, one of his three wins. And just at 4-5 was way too good for this group. And won off by widening lengths. And that set up yesterday with the two grade ones. And these are always pretty seemingly always productive when it comes to the Natalma and the summer. And Albahar, 3-5 in the summer. And, you know, kind of languished early. That actually was somewhat of a theme a little bit for some of the the Godolphin success this weekend, because the filly did too. The Frankel filly, Wild Beauty, she was last early and charged home. So last to first, and actually at Belmont as well, Jamie Spencer with that E-bar in the Jockey Club Derby. Same thing. Just storm by. One performance, I should get Christophe, because in addition to the two stake wins, you know, Dragon T, who, it's too bad that wasn't a bigger field and that you couldn't have gotten some better odds, because I thought Dragon T looked like a beach ball, but Derry Nain, the horse who ran a sneaky good race, and maybe it wasn't that sneaky, but watch that Natalma back again. Pizza Bianca, you know, she gets beat by two and change here. But her momentum was absolutely stopped, and Rosario had to kind of wait for a seam. And I'd like to see these two match up again, maybe at Del Mar, because Pizza Bianca, then once she got, she also got squeezed. Once the opening kind of came, Rosario started to go. They kind of squeezed up on her, and then she made it through. And once she did, she regained the momentum, but she lost a lot of momentum there, top of the stretch. So I thought that Pizza Bianca, and I didn't really, yesterday was strictly, I was watching him as Tina drove us home. I caught up on those races after the game. But I thought that was a very good effort in defeat, let's put it that way. There's plenty to like about Pizza Bianco. There's some of the top lines. Got a couple of minutes here before Brett Calhoun joins us. Brett's at the sale. Let's get a few things established here, because Rich McLeory is going to join us at 10. We'll talk about a lot of the Belmont weekend with him, including, how about Tom Morley with Locally Owned? the other flying pea that beats Lone Rock in that Grand Prix, in the marathon. Yeah, there's quite a bit here. Yesterday, I don't know why Spanish Love Affair. How did Spanish Love Affair go off as the longest shot on the board in that Pebbles yesterday? That was the craziest thing. I'm at the game, so I think at that point we were walking to the car. So I wasn't, I'm not paying attention at that point until later. And then I pulled it up. And I'm like, how did she go off at 30-1? It's crazy. That was a well-matched field, and she throttled them. The Caracanti. There's another Caracanti winner. Spanish Love Affair, and that's a nice win, because she had been DQ'd out of a graded stake, right? And so that's a nice win. It's not a graded stake, but it's a nice stake win for Eclipse and Gary Barber, and who else is in that group? Part of a lot of things to absorb. Then there's the Saturday night action, where Hidden Connection was really the star. I She Dares the Devil, won the Locust Grove, but, just able to withstand Crystal Ball. I thought I had a clever angle, and I left money on the table Saturday night. I'll tell you what, I was not, had everything, but I didn't have it structured. Just really annoying. I leaned very heavily on Stellar Tap, and that was too bad. So it was Hidden Connection that, in retrospect, in the two-year-old races, that could have been heavily leaned on. But she, she just destroyed that Pocahontas. And in fact, Brett Calhoun is going to join us momentarily. I started to set the stage. Major General comes out of Saratoga and wins that Iroquois, and Wisconsin with the mild upset. Mild upset. Bell's the one where, you know, they were pretty interchangeable in there. And Wisconsin comes away. And Michelle Lovell, she wins that Thoroughbred Society sprint with Rafi Bejarano. Castellano on board Major General. I'd like to see Javier kind of catch a little bit of a wave again and get himself going. I know it's been a little bit of a frustrating year. And he's trying to get some mojo going. So that's a nice win. That's a nice horse to latch on to for Javier. Plenty of other. There's a bunch. I got the whole Churchill weekend actually, and all the Belmont weekend because the maiden races as well to dive through. There was the DeFrancis Dash. You had the DQ, which was, you know, seemed to make sense. There was a DQ, the DQ in New York that didn't make any sense. We'll get to that. But at Laurel, they had a nice stake weekend, nice stake Saturday with the DeFrancis. And Jalen Journey gets put up over Wonder Where Craig Is. And in fact, a pair of Asmussen wins, but the DeFrancis, the grade three. And Fergal Lynch aboard. And Lynch also rode Captain Bombastic in the Polynesian to a win. Hello, Beautiful for Brittany Russell. And you probably saw where, you know, Sheldon sidelined. And it was one of those, you know, one of those either uplifting or, you know, I don't know, however you want to characterize it, kind of wins, bittersweet. And and Brad Cox, in addition to She Dares the Devil, Dream a Little Dream of You, won the Twixt with Heavy on Toledo. So, in fact, Toledo won two of the stakes, and Fergal Lynch won two of the stakes. Lots of other stuff. There was Albuquerque had stakes, including Val Brinkerhoff, coming in with Restrained Vengeance, brought Edwin Maldonado along. $200,000 stake, and that was a nice field. And if you didn't see that race, Restrained Vengeance and Tenfold were half a pole removed from everybody. It was a good race. The Downs at Albuquerque handicap, I pulled that up. That was all right. That's one of the advantages sometimes when you're not watching everything live, and then you go and watch every, you know, you go and catch up with a bunch of races. We got Los Al I got to get to. We've got Pennsylvania Derby, Cotillion draw day. They're going to have a 2 o'clock draw on their Facebook. This is the Pennsylvania HRA Facebook and YouTube page, the Derby and Cotillion, and I'll go through this in a few minutes. In fact, when Brett ask when we get Brett Calhoun on, we'll in fact, I hear Brett Calhoun in the background.
You do.
I don't mean to start with this and go off in a crazy direction first, but are we going to see Mr. Wireless in that entry box
later? He's in the entry box. He's in the Oklahoma Derby next
Sunday. Oh, the Oklahoma Derby entry box. All right. all right, so Remington, Oklahoma City, not Center City, Philadelphia for you guys. All right, that Pennsylvania Derby's coming up a little salty, Brett.
Yeah, what a great race it's going to be. I mean, a lot of the top 3-year-olds going that direction. We're a gelding, you know, just a sure. good horse, but we don't have to prove anything, and. Better off going to the Oklahoma Derby and taking on those instead of taking on the top 3-year-olds in the country.
Well, and it is, of course, you got the Oklahoma Derby and the Remington Green and the Cotillion, the Kip DeVille and the rest of that action.
The Oaks.
Yep.
Too.
Yep. Remington Oaks. There you go. How many, is that Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday.
It is Sunday, yeah. It's not, but Springboard's later.
That's, That's their last juvenile race at a mile. It's the last of the meet. Yeah, this is one of the, you know, I guess their early on preps. This is 6 furlong is the Kip DeVille.
There you go. One of the really good Oklahoma breds that people might not realize, Kip DeVille. Let's talk about, for the meantime, we're talking about all these far-flung things, and all you did was send out the most impressive individual horse of the weekend when it came to Hidden Connection, and the follow-up from Colonial, and talk a little bit about just a demolition of that Pocahontas.
We had a lot of confidence in her going in. Obviously, she's a very talented filly, but there was a lot of tests she had to pass that night. Obviously, she's going from 5.5 to a mile 16th. The atmosphere that night was unbelievable. It was an unbelievable crowd and a lot of noise. I kidded some people. I said, well, she's already schooled for the Oaks now. It was a tremendous crowd and noise. And so it was just a lot going on for her to have to face in her second out of her life. And I was very proud of her. She handled herself very well and ran up to expectations, passed the two-turn test, and couldn't be happier with her.
You know, you mentioned the stretch out, and if you go back to the performance at Colonial mid-August, and that was a near-track record performance and a connect filly, and in fact, was she Connect's first winner?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think he had a couple of winners before her.
Well, that performance came close to breaking a track record, and that was the first indication. But, you know, go 5.5 to 8.5 is no small task.
Yeah, and believe me, you know, it's just the filly. She's talented, and I can't take a lot of credit for that. I think she's just a very talented filly. She showed in her works in the morning. She always wanted a little bit more ground. So that gave us a little bit of confidence, but until you do it, you don't ever know. And so for her to go from 5.5 to a mile 16th, I thought was very impressive and honestly did it very easily.
Well, she's a connect out of an awesome, again, mare. So there's, you know, there's plenty of reason. It's actually more of a surprise that she was as effective at 5.5, you know, coming out like that. And she blasted that group by over 7. Ray Luke Gutierrez aboard here. And boy, I saw a picture. Did you see that picture, Brett, of him hugging the filly? Ray Lou.
You broke up on me a second. What'd you say?
Oh, there you go. Did you see the picture of Ray Lou hugging the filly's neck?
Yeah, that was great.
Really nice. You could tell how pleased, you know, with good reason to be associated with a horse like this. And you know, I'm looking at the sales history on this horse, and no wonder nothing bothers that horse. She was trotted through 4 sales.
Yeah, she's pretty seasoned as far as the sales go. You know, kind of an interesting story there. I mean, great selection by Dan Hall and his team from Hiddenbrook, selecting her out of the June sale. I had actually looked at that filly at a prior sale in April, and had made our short list all the way through. We ended up just not having the right person for her at the right time, and she was RNA'd and for 55 that day, and went back to the consigner and asked them what they wanted, and we just didn't have anybody that fit that day. So I just kind of forgot about the filly, and the June sale, I didn't go to the June sale, and didn't even know she was in there. And after Dan Hall purchased her, he called me and said, "Hey, I bought this filly at the June sale. Would you take her?" I said, "Yeah, I'd love to." I didn't know who it was. I said, "Yeah, just send her on." Had no idea that it was the same filly we had looked at in April. And it took me a few weeks to figure out it was the same filly that I had looked at in the April sale. So it was fate that I got her anyway.
Too funny. And bred by St. Simon Place. Second foal out of the out of the dam. CJ's gal, as mentioned, kicking the gas was a tourist gelding that won once. I mean, it was only a 3 year old, so not sure who's got that horse. And then there's a Palace Malice weanling filly that comes in behind, and that, you know, that actually that dam, her dam, CJ's Lily, seems a little familiar. Okay, this is the family of CJ's Awesome, who was a decent stake horse down in your region. And there's a little bit of familiarity here. Now, she was a stake. The second dam was a stake horse too. In fact, she was second in the Goldenrod in 2007. And the regret.
You look a little deeper into it. I know when Dan first purchased, he said, you know, she's a little bit lighter on the bottom side than I would like, and I said, well, hopefully we'll make our own page. We'll make our own page, Dan. And it looks like maybe that's what we're going to do.
Well, $85,000, you know, was the final price here, and that's been really the theme of the whole summer, it seems, Brett. And it's funny. I mean, you're at Keeneland right now, and I'm going to ask you about what your thoughts are as we head into Book Four, but week after week, we've been talking about horses bought for 30, 40, 50. You know, here's 85,000, you know, two for two, and clearly going to be one of the top fillies heading toward Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, it can be done. I mean, they all go through dramatic changes as they grow up, and, you know, some of them go from the ugly duckling into the white swan, and some of them you pay a lot for that look really right at the yearling sale, 2 year old sale, they never make the right changes or any positive changes after that. So, you know, sometimes it's just you get lucky.
Wow, that's tremendous. This is exciting. What'll you do between now and Cup? What's your plan?
Well, I told somebody the other day I didn't have enough time between her first out and her second start to really do what I would have liked to have done to prepare for the mile 16. So I think she just won on talent alone. I said, now I have 7 weeks between now and the Breeders' Cup, and it's almost too much time for me to screw it up. But we will just point her directly to the Breeders' Cup. She's had a couple of fast races. I think I don't know what her numbers were after this last race, but knowing it was the fastest Pocahontas ever run, and it was a full second faster than the Colt race that day, I assume it's going to be another pretty fast speed figure. So the 7 weeks in between should be perfect for us.
Very nice. And Hidden Connection. You mentioned Hiddenbrook. Black Type Thoroughbreds. I see their name. They partner with a lot of people. I see their name often.
That's Jake Ballas and a group.
Okay.
Of his
investors. There we go.
And so there was, and even they bought 40% of her, and they broke it up into some shares. And even some of my current owners took a share here and there. So it's a large group. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, they had a lot of fun Saturday night. They all rode a bus from Lexington over to Louisville, and they had a great time.
That's great. That is great. And in fact, we saw where was I just recently? I'm drawing a blank of even where I was, and at Kentucky Downs, and I saw, I didn't get a chance to talk, but I saw Jake there.
Yeah, I ran into him there as well.
There you go. That was one of the funniest sides. You know, here you were on Saturday last Saturday at Kentucky Downs, and you were just enjoying it, because I don't think you ran horses until Sunday, but they still, right? And they still dragged you into the in front of the camera.
I was just being a fan Saturday. That place has come a long way. It really turned into a fun event. Obviously, it's a lot of money for the horsemen, and you see a lot of horsemen and people related to the industry coming out to watch the races there. So it was a lot of fun.
No, my first time, and I really had a ball. Just thoroughly enjoyed it, and look forward to coming back. Couple of topics while I've got you, and I know you got to go look at babies. But talk a little bit about the sale and your impressions here as we kind of start the bargain hunting phase today.
Well, it's obviously been very strong, and I think a lot of people at the front end of the sale still have money because a lot of people got outrun, and they have plenty of money, so it's a trickle down, and they just keep pushing people farther and farther back. So it looks like it might be a few days before it gets to the bargain time. I'm sure there is some going through. We just smart enough to figure out which ones they were, but yeah, it's very strong still. A lot of good horses left, and obviously a lot of money left.
What kind of a shopping list do you have? How many clients are looking at orders to fill this rest of the week?
I don't have a lot, honestly. I got a few left. I was fortunate. Some guys bought some horses early. Not very many, but they bought some nice ones, and they had to pay quite a bit for them. So we've got a few guys already done, and we've got a few left. But I don't have a lot. Just like you said, I'm kind of bargain shopping now.
There you go. As you look particularly at this first crop, and nobody needs you and I to play up the performance of Justify and City of Light and even Mendelssohn and Good Magic, who have been strong. But who have you been impressed with physically that you think is going to have forward early runners?
Yeah, there's some horses out there that are not quite highly rated as those, but there's horses like More Spirits had some really nice babies. I think Army Mules had some outstanding babies. Motown, Sharp Azteca, horses like that that have put out some really nice looking yearlings.
Nice. All right, we're going to talk to Joe Nevels in hour three from Pollock, and we'll get Joe's impression halfway, basically, after books 1, 2, 3 and some big numbers. Let me catch up on a couple of quick horses. Here's Hidden Connection, maiden winner, stake winner. Gentle Soul from Ellis, mid August. What's next for that Tapizar gelding?
We've got an allowance race coming. I believe it's on the 1st at Churchill. He's doing very well. He worked day before yesterday. Everything's going very good for him. We're excited about him. It took us a while to get here, and everything's been going right since we got him back, and he's been very impressive in his race and in the mornings as well. I thought Adam did a great job riding him the other day. He acted a little lost in between horses, got a little green, and Adam urged him on through there, and then he went on about his business and finished up big. So we're kind of optimistic about his future.
Nice. And, in fact, a couple of other maiden winners from Colonial that we should ask about. Tejano Twist and Street
Tejano Twist
Tapper.
Tom Twist is in the Kip DeVille on Sunday.
Nice.
At Remington. I think he looks like he's got a shot in there. I ran him, obviously, at Colonial on the turf last time. Just because we were there, and I thought he might like it all right, and he fit well. And it was he got beat a nose, and he just kind of on the turf first time got shuffled back a little bit too far and come running. I don't think the dirt or turf makes a difference. So looking forward to running him Sunday as well at Remington.
Nice. And I should ask, too, bigger names. And if I'm seeing this correctly, did By My Standards work this morning?
He did. He did work this morning. The track was really, really wet. It was safe. It was very safe, but it was really, really wet. So I kind of gave him an easier work this morning, just played a little cautious, but he worked really good and galloped out good. We just were a little careful with him because the track was really wet, and I needed to get the work in him this morning. And so we went ahead with it first set this morning. I watched him breeze at 5:30 this morning at Churchill.
Nice. And I mean, long term, what's the plan of attack with him?
We're planning on the Woodward on the 2nd at Belmont.
Cool. Cool. All right, great.
Looks like, it's like Maxfield will be there. I'm hearing Dr. Post, art collector. I don't know what else, but that's what I'm hearing.
Excellent. Well, that's always a great day. I mean, the whole lineup has shifted and morphed, obviously, with Jockey Club Gold Cup moving up to Saratoga, the Woodward coming back to Belmont. And how did that strike you out of curiosity, Brett? Because here you are with a candidate for either potentially, because the mile and a quarter with lots of time to the Breeders' Cup versus the mile and the eighth as the prep to the Breeders' Cup. And you know, that was the thinking when Martin Panza and the team made that switch. And obviously it works for you.
Yeah, you know what? The Jockey Club was a little quick back for me. I would have liked to have run in that race, but it was a little quick back. So we targeted the Woodward and, the mile and eight, of course, so out of the chute there. And the fact that we run well as a one turn mile there in the Met mile gave us confidence to go back and try it again.
Nice. Well, should be that list of probables is nice right off the get-go. Couple of quick hits too coming up on Wednesday. She Got the Gold Mine, looking to break the maiden at Indiana.
Yeah, we entered her over there to run her on the grass. It doesn't look like that's going to happen, but she's trained well enough. We'll definitely run her, and I think she'll make a good showing of herself there on Wednesday.
Nice. This is a mineshaft filly out of a Menifee mare, so here's another horse that's bred for two turns.
Exactly. She's definitely bred to stretch out, and we're hoping to just get her started here. Hopefully, she doesn't necessarily have a lot of turf breeding, but she just kind of looked like that a little bit in the morning, so we thought we'd try that. Like I said, obviously we probably won't, but I look forward to run a big race first time out.
Excellent. Well, Brett, I appreciate this. We got a lot done, and go get yourself some yearlings.
I appreciate it.
Brett Calhoun, everybody, and he's got a nice Sunday, actually, with the horses in five of the stakes at Remington, and including Mr. Wireless, that aforementioned, that came up, and clearly he's got one of the top fillies in the country among the two-year-old set. You stretch that out 5.5 to 8.5. That's impressive. The Pocahontas win by Hidden Connection, and excited for Relu Gutierrez to have a big horse like this. You could see how awesome. If you didn't see that picture, I think I may have retweeted it last night as we were driving back. So always good to connect with Brett Calhoun, and there's a lot going. He's got a lot going on. I didn't even. There's another 8 or 10 horses I could have asked about. And in fact, while we're doing this, let me give you, because I had not looked at it myself. Let's look at this Oklahoma Derby, and they got a nice field of eight. Super Stock for Team Asmussen with Santana from the rail. Flash of Mischief, Broberg, with Joe Talamo. Warrant turns up. Joel Rosario going to his world tour continues down to Oklahoma City for Brad Cox. Parrothead, there you go. I love it. Parrothead. And this is Ronnie Cravens with Cabrera. Team Merchants, Doug O'Neill and Gutierrez. Defeater for Tom Amos, James Graham. Mr. Wireless has just came up with Brett Calhoun with Ramon Vasquez. And Dial In for Loot, CR Trout, draws the eight. So there's your field for the Oklahoma Derby. Nice. And you got, it's a good state card that goes into the early evening on Sunday. We've also got, you got a nice field. You got a nice field for the Remington Park. Field of nine, the Oaks. The Oaks, where's the Oaks? There it is. The Oaks, Pauline's Pearl, Bob and Tail, Amendment 19, My Girl Red, Lovely Ride, Haley's Melody, and Lady Mystify. Brett with Lovely Ride in there. And Ray Lou riding everything for him. Asmussen, Pauline's Pearl as well. Nice card. You know, and one thing I haven't had a chance to, I think if I mentioned it in passing, the retirement of Scott Wells. Did I mention this a couple weeks ago when it came up? I can't remember if I did or not, but we'll have to reach out to him and as he's had a fascinating career, including his time in South America, helping reopen Moronis, part of his, and then of course Lone Star and Remington in particular. So good. All right, I will. I gotta get those PPs printed. So Saturday, Philadelphia. Sunday, Remington. And if you haven't looked ahead and seen some of the notes, as promised, here's your Pennsylvania Derby as we know it right now. Medina Spirit, Hot Rod Charlie, Midnight Bourbon, Wayburn, Folsom, Bourbonic, I Am Redeemed, Speaker's Corner, and Keep Me in Mind. There's nine right there. And there had been expectation but I for both First Captain and Rock Your World, but I think both of them have opted out. I did not see further notice on either one, so I will I'll see if we can't get word. But 2 o'clock for the Pennsylvania Derby and Cotillion draw, and I was with Will Schwartz yesterday and his wife Val and Tina and I. We were together for the Eagle game, and we thank Will for taking us. And usually this is the companion Sunday to Pennsylvania Derby Cotillion Day, but they didn't match up this year. But it was our anniversary weekend, so we were going to Philly and the Rittenhouse Square Art Show. Will's involved with Leader of the Band in the Cotillion, and he knows that it's a deep, tough field. Clairière, Always Karina, Army Wife, Leader of the Band, Maracuja, Obligatory, Played Hard, Private Mission, Bella Sophia. There's your group. Lovely Ride had been on the list, but there she is in the Remington field. So, and there was a potential for Will's Secret to be involved in the Cotillion too for Dallas Stewart, but I haven't seen any news there. And Jackie's Warrior is showing up for the Gallant Bob. So there's your big 3-year-old, and that's just part of what is always a fabulous day at Parks. I mean, the rest of the, you got, I think you got six or seven. You got the turf sprint, the monster, and the dirt mile, which is a fairly new addition. And, of course, the Greenwood Cup, that's right, the mile and a half Greenwood Cup. And there's usually a couple of Pennsylvania bred events as well. Yeah, the Plum Pretty, there it is, Plum Pretty and the Alphabet Soup, the two state breds. So the total of what, 8 stakes on Saturday at Parks. And after some uncertainty, I am going to go. Tina's going to Rochester, so we are splitting up for this weekend. She's going to Rochester to take care of the baby, and yeah. And I'm going to head to Philly, back to Philly, back-to-back weekends. And very nice of my wife to. And there was some, my hand was forced, to be honest, because a New York bred race materialized at Belmont on Thursday. So we're going to head down to Belmont. And in fact, not only are we going for Thursday, Shirzando draws the rail in the seventh, and that seventh will be part of a carryover sequence to start the week at Belmont. So I think 74,000, if I'm not mistaken. I think 74,000, 75,000. So nice pick six. Which in part, obviously, in part, the Spanish Love Affair upset contributing to that, right? We got a couple of minutes to the top of the hour. Mig is going to join us at 11. We've got, I mentioned Joe Nevels. Joe Nevels to provide some full coverage from the weekend, and really, I want to get Joe's first week plus summary as we, survey the Bloodstock media. Nicole on Friday, and we had Jess and Sid. But I want to see what Joe's thoughts are. The first croppers, after bringing up Mendelsohn with Sid, Mendelsohn went on a real run Wednesday, Thursday, and then through the weekend. Mendelsohn, 45 head, averaging just under $200,000 per buy. 197, really. 196, 911. 8.8 million. Into Mischief, of course, your leader. 59 head, averaging $436,000 each. But Justify and City of Light, quite remarkable at this juncture to see, two first crop stallions after 6 days of the 11, and they've already surpassed with five. Today they're starting in about 10 minutes. They've already surpassed last year's total, and the sale Brett. Perfectly summarized it. I mean, so many people get pushed further and further into the catalogs with the strength of the market. So we'll get some thoughts from Joe. That I can put aside. I do have to, not only as mentioned at the end of last week with Mike Riccio, succumbing, and there was another tragic just sudden death yesterday. Jim Urbaner, 69, died yesterday. And again, somebody, you know, an older, obviously, you know, more veteran consigner than Mike Riccio, but just one of those, kind of the same, kind of cut from the similar cloth in terms of just widely respected and liked, and had a hand in, just if you look at the recent, some of the recent names that that he had handled, Hot Rod Charlie. Some really nice quotes and expressions from friends, and Tony Lacey at Keeneland, and his daughter continuing with the consignment. I think they had eight horses to sell, I think. Yet, very sad. So we'll address that, both of those passings. During the week. All right. Promise that. All right. The rest of this, I'm going to save the New York stuff for Rich, who's going to join us in just a couple of minutes. And, yeah, the rest of this can wait. All right. You know what, Case? Let's, we're there. Let's take a break here and come back. Hour two, Rich Migliori starts us off, then some Joe Nevels, some more weekend recaps as well. Back after this at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them, is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Horse racing fans, major Southern California thoroughbred racing action continues at Los Alamitos Racecourse with the LA County Fair Meet. First post during the meet is 1 p.m. Pacific. Horse players, join us for our on-track live money handicapping contest this Saturday afternoon. Two berths will be up for grabs to the National Handicapping Championship in Las Vegas. Contest rules are available at losalamitos.com. Plus, our weekend doubleheaders continue this Saturday with a great night of live quarter horse and thoroughbred racing.